Good morning.
We're delighted to be back with you. We missed being here, even though on our trip we had a great time. But both Sundays that we were gone, we were in traveling and transition, and we didn't have the privilege of being in a worship service. And so it's good to be back in the Lord's house with you today and to see all of your faces. And it was a good time. We were celebrating our 57th wedding anniversary, and thank all of you who have extended your good wishes to us. Yesterday was our 57th anniversary, and the cruise, the trip was your generous gift to us. We had never been able to do it if you hadn't have given so generously, and so for that we thank you. It'll be something that we'll remember the rest of our lives, and if I can get my act together or get some girls or a son or somebody to help and get the pictures together, we'll show them on maybe a Sunday afternoon or sometime. I doubt if you'd want to see them on Sunday morning. But anyway, we'll try to share that with you and hope that it'll be a blessing to you to see. The great land is what many up in Alaska call it. I did have to endure a few snide remarks that people mentioned about how much bigger Alaska is than Texas. But we endured it, and we were blessed by the trip and to see all of God's beautiful creation up in Alaska. And we truly enjoyed it. Came back a few pounds heavier probably. I don't think Barbara's had the nerve to get on the scales yet, but I did, and I was a few pounds heavier, but we'll work those off one way or the other. This morning, preaching on the subject, Fill My Cup, Lord, and that is the song, the gospel song that the ensemble was playing for you just a few minutes ago. It will also be our invitation hymn for this morning. And I want to speak to you on the one phrase out of Psalm 23, my cup overflows, or my cup runneth over, as in the King James Version. But I want us to read all of Psalm 23. I think that'll be worthwhile, and if you'll stand with me, and we will read this great and beautiful psalm. And I'll be reading out of the ESV, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. I'm going to ask Brother Matthew Hare if he will to lead us in this prayer. You may be seated. Here the psalmist in verse 5 says, my cup overflows. In this phrase from this great psalm, the cup represents our lives as God's people, as Christians. We are a vessel created by God, the potter. And he wants to teach us some lessons about how we can be the kind of cups the kind of vessels that will glorify Him. If you've ever been to our house, you know that we have a lot of cups. We have many, many cups. In fact, yesterday afternoon as I was preparing to preach, I thought, I'll just go down and see if I can count all the cups. And I started counting and I just gave up because there's just too many of them. It was a hopeless task. In the kitchen and in the dining room, there are cups, cups, and more cups. The bottom line, we have a lot of cups. And our cups come in many different sizes, shapes, colors, and materials. But our cup collection pales in comparison to God's. He has a countless number of His cups, His vessels scattered around the world. People of every race, of every language, and color. They've been saved by His grace and molded into vessels of honor for His service. The title for this sermon this morning, Fill My Cup, Lord, was taken from the title of that gospel hymn that we're going to sing as our invitation this morning. But the chorus of that hymn says, Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make it whole. For you see, the reason that God's cups, God's vessels, are important is that every cup, every vessel is created for a purpose. And that purpose, of course, as you and I are God's vessels, that purpose is to be determined by God. I love the story in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. I won't read the rest of it, but these verses say, The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. So from these verses we learn, first of all, that God is the potter. That God is the one who is at His wheel. And He is forming on His wheel every single one of us because we are His creation. We are His vessel. We have been chosen by Him and set aside by Him to be used in His service. And so we quickly learn that not all cups and vessels are the same. I wish I could take you on a tour of all of the cups in our house and you could see all the wide variety of cups. But as God's vessels today, the important thing is that each of us understand that we need to fulfill the purpose for which God, our Creator, has made us. Purpose He intended. Sadly, today and many cups are made and sold as souvenir items, and they're intended to be used as collector's items, as display items, and God's vessels were never intended to be that. God intends for His vessels to be used for His honor and for His glory. So I pray that today as we consider this subject that God will help each of us to understand I am His vessel. He's forming me. Lord, help me to be the vessel that You want me to be. Now, the norm for the Christian's cup is a full cup. David said, My cup overflows. Would you examine your life today and see if your cup is an overflowing cup? One of the blessings of cups living in Taiwan, we have a thing that's called Laurincha, which translated would be old people's tea. And what it is, you have this little small tea pitcher, and you have usually 8 little tiny cups. And you set the teapot on the table, you fill it with a handful of tea, and you pour boiling hot water in it, and that first boiling hot water, you pour it off, and then you fill it again, and you begin filling the cups. And a group of friends or family sit around the table, drinking tea, and visiting, and enjoying one another's company. And the secret is, as soon as you empty your cup, someone's going to grab the pitcher and fill it again. And so you see, that's what God wants from us. As we sit around the table that God mentions, that God has set before us, and we are His vessels, that God wants to keep taking the pitcher of grace and pouring it out into our lives and filling us full of His blessings. I read a story this week that back in Bible times, they had a law of hospitality. You would have often had travelers, some traveling for long distances. And back in those days, they didn't have Motel 6 and they didn't have McDonald's and Burger King. And so, what you would do would be to, as you traveled along and the day was getting late, you would come upon a house and you would stop at that house and knock on the door. And the law of hospitality was that they were obligated to provide you with a meal. You would be invited in, the food, the meal would be set before you, and they had no other obligation, only a meal. And then normally the traveler would be sent on his way. However, sometimes if the traveler was quite interesting person and a good conversationalist, the host would like him to stay longer. So what he would do, he would take the pitcher and pour into the man's cup until it overflowed. And this was the message: I'm inviting you to stay. I want you to stay longer. And so the recipient would thank him and they would continue to enjoy their conversation together. However, if the host was ready for you to leave, he would pour your cup half full. You got the message. After you eat your meal, finish your dessert, it's time to hit the road. Well, I'm thankful that God, our potter, our creator, our provider, is the one who desires to keep pouring into our lives. He desires continual, daily, constant fellowship with us. And so He pours our cups full to overflowing. John chapter 4 verse 14 says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." What a blessing it is to know the results of our salvation, that we have that fountain of eternal life welling up within us. John chapter 7 verses 37 and 38. on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Folks, what a great promise that is. That was Jesus' promise that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and every person who believes in Jesus as his personal Savior is born again. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell him and to provide that river of living water that can never be exhausted. Why does our cup overflow? Ephesians 1:3 is a blessed verse that says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Think about that. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God pours out every possible spiritual blessing in all of the heavenly places. But it's all in Christ. You see, that's the reason that Christ is the key. That's the reason that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven's glory and came to this earth and died on the cross so that you and I might have the fountain of God's blessing opened up into our hearts. So that our cup can overflow. Our cup overflows because we have all things in Christ. Our cup overflows because in all of heaven and earth, there is nothing that we shall want but what God has supplied in Christ. Our cup overflows because the infinite God is ours through Jesus Christ. Our cup overflows because He answers our prayers. Our cup overflows because the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ covers our sin and our unrighteousness. Our cup overflows because we have a salvation that can never be taken away from us. Our cup overflows because we have a wealth in Jesus that can never be depleted. Our cup overflows because in Christ we have a peace that can never be abrogated. Our cup overflows because we have a joy in Christ that can never be suppressed. Our cup overflows because in Jesus we have a sin intercessor who can never be disqualified. Our cup overflows because Jesus is our victor who won the victory over death for us. Over death, hell, and the grave. And I could go on and on and on. The reasons why Jesus makes our cup to overflow. There is a problem, however. The problem is this, that not all Christians have their cups full and overflowing. How do we know? Well, we know because of the empty pews in churches around our nation and around the world. People who have bailed out on God, who have abandoned God, and who are no longer seeking to serve God and honor God and live for God in their daily lives. They have empty cups now. And because they have empty lives, Christians, sadly, have become just like the people in the world in many cases, where we are seeking the same things that the people of the world are seeking. We're seeking riches and power and fame and all of those other things that the world is seeking. And so their lives have become just as empty as those people out in the world. But I'm thankful that God loved me. I'm thankful that God chose me. You see, cups are chosen. Now, I assume that most of you out there at least drink every day, and that you have either glasses or cups that you drink out of. at our house, in the kitchen cupboard, kitchen cabinet, we've got a large assortment of all different kinds of cups. I didn't even bother to try to count them. Joanna gets a little disturbed sometimes after she's washing dishes and trying to put them away and trying to find a place for all of the cups. And she'll work hard to get them assorted and put in place and everything. And then she comes back the next time and somebody has got it all jumbled up again. And I guess I'm probably the number one jumbler. Because you see, I've got a pecking order in my cups. Number one on the list is my Edward Jones cup. Now, there's no reason for that except I like it. It's the right shape. It feels good. It's got a convenient handle. So that's been for several years my number one cup. But number two is my Jacksonville College 100th anniversary cup. And so if Edward Jones is not available, then I go to Jacksonville College. Number three on the list is my Air Force Academy cup, which the girls visited on one of the Reflections choir tours. And so it has my name Dale on it. So that's number three. Number four is just a plain white cup. No marking, doesn't say it. Probably made in China, but it doesn't say it's made in China. It's just a plain white cup. Number five is my Boston Terrier cup. You see, there's a story behind that. Because when I was about 10 years of age, my favorite uncle passed away. We inherited his dog, Mickey. Mickey had puppies. Mickey was half Boston Terrier. Mickey had puppies. She had eight puppies. And while those little puppies, about eight of them, were still, hadn't opened their eyes yet, Mickey was out in the pasture chasing a rabbit, fell off a cliff, broke her neck, and died. And we were left with eight little puppies. So, my dad said, we can't keep them all. We'll choose one. And that will be our puppy. And we'll feed him with an eyedropper. Okay? There was one puppy that was black and white with a bobbed tail just like a Boston Terrier. And so we chose him. His name was Scooter. But sadly, I wish this could have a happy ending. But Scooter disappeared one night when he was about a year old. I've been grieving ever since. But when I look at my Boston Terrier cup, it reminds me of the good times with Scooter. Well, that was a little nonsense, but but I have the sovereign authority to choose which cup I'm going to drink out of. Well, I'm glad that we have an all-powerful sovereign God who has the power, the right, and the authority, because He is creator of all men, to choose His vessels. Acts chapter 9 verse 15 says, but the Lord said to him, this is Ananias. God had appeared to Ananias and said, there's this man named Saul of Tarsus, and I want you to go to him and speak to him and give him my message. Well, Ananias wasn't too excited about that because he had heard about Saul of Tarsus, that he was trying to kill all the Christians. But God said, you go. And he went. And here's his, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. You see, Paul was a chosen vessel. But I want to tell you something else. We like to take people like Paul. He was probably the greatest missionary, maybe the greatest theologian the church has ever had and ever will have. But every single child of God is special to God. And we are chosen by God to be His vessel. Because God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of our lives. I say that again. God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of our lives. I won't take the time to give you my personal testimony of God's call, but God called me as a teenager to preach the gospel. I wasn't too excited about it. I avoided it. I ran from it as much as I could. But God just finally hemmed me up in a corner, and I had to say, "Yes, Lord." So the first Sunday after I surrendered, after I graduated from high school, I walked down the aisle of my home church and surrendered to preach. My first semester at Jacksonville College, I had felt God calling me to be a missionary. And so, in a revival meeting at Travis Street Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Texas, one morning, Pastor E.L. Jones preaching, I surrendered my life to be a missionary. Because you see, we're chosen. John chapter 15 and verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you." You're chosen. You're chosen by God. You're chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him fill you. Let His blessings and His grace overflow you. Why do a lot of Christians have empty cups? Because they have cups that are broken and cracked because of their rebellion against God. Psalm 31:12, David said, "I am like a broken vessel." Jeremiah 2:13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." A broken vessel, a cracked cistern, is worthless because it won't hold water. It can't fulfill the purpose for which it was created. Most of you know by now that I grew up out in West Texas, about 200 miles west of here. It's a hot, dry, arid country. And every home, every house out there, beside the house, they dig a cistern. They plaster the inside of that cistern. And they have the gutters that channel the water from the roof when it rains down into the cistern. And that's the water that we have to drink. But if that cistern becomes cracked, the plaster broken, it can't hold water. Then you've got a real problem. And Jeremiah is saying here in Jeremiah 2:13 that God's people, the people that He had chosen, the people that He had brought out of Egypt and into the promised land, the people that He had poured out His blessings upon, they had forsaken Him. They had abandoned Him. They had rebelled against Him. Israel had misused their vessel. They had abandoned God in the purpose for which God had saved them, to go and worship, to serve, and to glorify other gods. Sadly today, so many of us are guilty, as ancient Israel was. We abandon God and we begin to worship the gods of this world. Now, we may not be going into a temple or to a place of worship to worship some other religion's God, but we worship the things in this world. And Satan is good at it. And we need to be aware of it. Because Christians' lives will not stay full of God's power and God's blessings when they abandon God for the gods and the pleasures and the treasures of this world. But be forewarned. As Israel in Jeremiah's day found out, God means what He says. And God has warned us who abandon Him, who forsake Him, who give up the life that we can have in Christ, the abundant life, the joyful life, for the things of the world. Some of you probably have heard this story before. But one of our furloughs from Taiwan, many, many years ago, we had for some reason gone to a hardware store that sold very high-class dishes and pottery and all kinds of good stuff. And so the sales lady was demonstrating a brand of china that was from Japan that was supposedly unbreakable. And so the way she demonstrated, she took two plates in her hand and crashed them together. They were supposed to just bounce off of one another. She got a shock that day because those plates shattered into 1,000 pieces. And I doubt if she made a sale that day. But folks, that's what sin can do to our lives when we abandon God, the fountain of living waters, and we go after the things of this world. Because we will be broken and shattered in 1,000 pieces. And another reason that Christians don't have their cups overflowing is because they have dirty cups. They have dirty cups. Jeremiah 2:13 again, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Then 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. And dear friends, this morning, we were made and created to be filled by God. And God inspects His cups every day. Some of you perhaps can relate to this. When our family goes to a restaurant, my wife appoints herself as the cup and utensil examiner. And if she looks at a fork or a knife or a cup or a glass that has a little lipstick stain or something else on it, she immediately calls the waiter to come over because that is unacceptable. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that our God is even stricter than Barbara Thornton. He examines our hearts and our lives. And God's standard is different from the world's standard. Luke 11:39, and the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness." You see, the world's standard is, as long as it looks good on the outside, the inside doesn't matter. But with God, it's totally different. Because God first looks at the heart and what's in our hearts and in our lives. And so when God finds and examines our lives and He finds clean cups, He fills them full to overflowing. But when He finds dirty cups, He withholds His blessing. He withholds His presence and His power. So how do you fill your cup? Well, first of all, by being in the right place at the right time. Andrew Murray said this, "Just as water ever seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds you abased and empty, His glory and power flow in." Water always flows to the lowest spot. And God's blessings can only flow into the humble heart. In English, of course, we know that the word humble comes from humus, which means soil or dirt. And so we need to be humble before God. We need to come daily confessing our sins to Him. God can never fill us as long as we're filled with self-pride and sin. When we are filled with pride, then God must break us. We are empty because of our sin. And because our lives have been shattered and broken and cracked by sin. As we found in Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah went down there and he saw the potter working at his wheel, and the piece of clay that he was working with on the wheel to make a vessel became spoiled in the potter's hand. And so, what did he do? He didn't throw the clay away. No, he took it and he started all over again to make another vessel, a vessel that would be pleasing to the Lord. And so God, today, wants to break us and make us. I think of Jesus' story of the grain of wheat that had to fall into the ground and die. It must be brought low. It must be broken before it can be produced fruit and be filled. Here's what Jesus said. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And so we fill our cups, first of all, by occupying the place of humility before God. And second of all, our cups are filled when we have clean cups. No one wants to drink out of a dirty cup. When we see that a cup is dirty, we discard it or clean it before filling it. Through confession, John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And we are cleansed not only through confession, but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And so today, we need clean cups, purified cups, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and walking in the light with the Holy Spirit shining God's Word into our hearts daily. And as we recognize our sin and our rebellion against God, confessing that so that God can continually fill us. And the thing that pops into my mind is when I was a boy growing up out on the farm, I was about 12, 13 years old. And you've heard me tell this story before. Me and my two brothers ordered red bicycles from Sears Roebuck. And we had a great time of over several years' time enjoying riding those bicycles down the country roads. But one thing we did not anticipate, there is a weed, a sticker, I don't know if it still exists or not. Somebody said the drought of the 50s eradicated them, but anyway. Goat heads. Any of you ever heard of a goat head? I'm not talking about the literal animal goat's head. I'm talking about this little tiny sticker that has about, Dennis, how many points does it have? He'd say a lot. Okay. Anyway, they're not like a grass burr. A grass burr is kind of soft. A goat head is hard. And it's laying out there on the ground just waiting for bicycle tires. And you can imagine, we were constantly having flat tires and having to fix flats on our bicycles. But then we found out a secret. There was this substance that we could buy and squirt into the tube of the bicycle tire that would be sticky, and it would stay in the tire, and anytime it got punctured, that sticky substance would instantly seal the puncture so it wouldn't leak. Boy, was that a relief. But I'm here to tell you this morning that walking in the light as He is in the light means that my sins are continually forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yes, this cleansing needs to be a daily, continual cleansing. And so when we are full, our cups are full, sin comes into our life, whether it's jealousy, anger, bitterness, or whatever other sin it might be, then our cups can no longer be full until that sin is confessed. But God is so patient. He draws us by His Spirit. He draws us by His Word to walk in the light. And as long as His light is shining into our hearts, we confess our sins. The cup of our lives can continually, daily overflow with the blessings of God. In conclusion, how do we know when our cup is not full? Well, I think God has given us a way. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, in the Amplified Bible, and this is not the whole verse, but it says, "And let the peace from the Christ rule," in parentheses, this is in the Amplified Bible, "act as umpire continually in your hearts." Now, let me read that again. "And let the peace from the Christ rule," that is, act as umpire continually in your hearts. The word for rule in this verse comes from a Greek word that means referee. Now, when we're playing a game, whether it's basketball or some other game, and we are a participant, we don't particularly like the referee because sometimes he blows his whistle. And so it is. God, the Holy Spirit, is that referee, that peace in our hearts. Every time we sin and rebel and disobey God, then the referee of peace in our hearts blows the whistle and we lose our peace. We know something is wrong because that is God through His Word and through His Spirit calling us to confess and to repent and to return to Him. Then our cup once again is filled and His peace returns. But every time we sin, and you know this to be true, every one of us can testify from personal experience, when we willfully do something that we know is against the will and word and commandments of God, there's that guilty feeling, that peace that leaves us. It's like an automatic valve on a water tower. As soon as the water runs out, gets to a certain level, the float valve goes down and automatically turns on the water and begins to refill the tank. And so peace is that float valve that God has placed in our hearts that drives us to our knees seeking God's blessing. I pray that God will fill your cup today. That God will bless you today by coming to Him and say, Father, I know You created me. I know You are my Lord and my Savior. And I'm Your vessel. I want to be filled to overflowing every day of my life. And if you're here and there's some reason, something in your life that's keeping you from being filled to overflowing with all that God wants to give you, I invite you to come. I'll be here in the altar. I would love to pray with you and share with you if you just come. Whatever God is speaking to your heart, if God is leading someone to come and place their membership in this church, we certainly would love to have you to join us here in serving God and preaching the gospel to all the world. And if you're here this morning, you know that you've never been saved by the grace of God, and so you have no hope of your cup being filled until you trust Jesus as your Savior. So Richard's going to come now and lead us in this great gospel song, Fill My Cup, Lord. And I pray that that will be your prayer this morning, to fill my cup, Lord.
Would you stand, please?
Hymn number 105, Fill My Cup, Lord.